ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hello, News Daily listeners. I'm Avani Dias. I'm just jumping into your feed to tell you about a new podcast I've been working on. It's about the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the myths that surround him. He used to campaign talking about how he was single, and then it emerged he had a secret wife. So who is she, and why did he try to keep her a secret? You can listen to the podcast now. It's called Looking for Modi.
You can barely buy anything with it, but the price of Bitcoin has hit an all-time high. So how has the cryptocurrency many people wrote off just a few years ago bounced back? Today, Andrew Chow, technology correspondent at Time magazine, on the Bitcoin boom. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Andrew, before we even launch into this discussion, and I know there's probably a lot of people that know the answer to this, but can you please remind me what Bitcoin is?
Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. It's the first cryptocurrency.
The explosion in online trading has fueled the rise of a new virtual currency known as the Bitcoin.
And the idea of cryptocurrency is that it's a type of money that is not issued by a government but exists on its own ledger, free from tampering or any sort of government intervention.
Okay, so it's a cryptocurrency, but what confuses me about cryptocurrency is, can you actually buy things with Bitcoin?
In some parts of the world you can, but it's exceedingly rare. In order for Bitcoin to be used, you know, it would need to be attached to payment systems around the world. There are some cafes in various places like Argentina where you can actually buy a coffee with Bitcoin, but oftentimes it's just worth way more trouble than it's useful. So it's really not useful as a currency at the moment.
So it's rather just an investment asset like gold or diamonds, something like that.
Correct. It's kind of ironic because in the beginning, the early adopters of Bitcoin really wanted it to be a global reserve currency that would thrive when, you know, inflation destroyed all other currencies, and so we wouldn't have to trust governments. But Bitcoin really has not worked as a currency at all, and so a lot of Bitcoiners now basically call it digital gold, or they just use it as a speculative asset, believing that it will continue to go up in value.
Okay. All right. What I do know, Andrew, about Bitcoin, because I've read about it, is that it has a very volatile price. So in 2022, it had a serious crash, didn't it? Just remind me about that.
I'm actually writing a book on it right now called Cryptomania that traces the rise and fall of crypto over the pandemic. In late 2021, Bitcoin shot all the way to around $69,000 per coin. In 2022, there were a series of, I guess, crashes to different crypto companies that were brought on mostly by fraud and wild optimism turned sour. And then late in the year, the cryptocurrency exchange giant FTX and its owner, Sam Bankman-Fried, it collapsed in sort of a shell game.
The one-time crypto mogul Sam Bankman-Fried now faces decades in a U.S. jail after being found guilty of fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering.
He had taken the money of his customers and used it to gamble on different things.
Sam Bankman-Fried perpetrated one of the biggest financial frauds in American history, a multi-billion dollar scheme designed to make him the king of crypto.
So the price went all the way from $69,000 all the way back to $17,000. So an enormous, enormous dip.
The combined market value of all cryptocurrencies is now $1.3 trillion US dollars, but that's less than half the value last November. So has the cryptocurrency bubble burst?
It really killed off some of the buzz around crypto, didn't it? Some people thought it was really dead. That was the end of it.
there was all of this momentum that had been garnered over the pandemic was basically wiped out very quickly. A lot of investors lost interest. A lot of sort of venture capital money exited the space. And crypto critics really went on the offensive, like Elizabeth Warren in the United States, trying to crack down with regulation.
All the warning signs are flashing. The hype, the volatility, the wild claims that turn out to be false. As the crypto market grows, so do the risks to our financial stability and our economy. Regulators need to do their job and step in before it's too late.
But Andrew, it's pretty amazing, isn't it, how things have seriously turned around now.
So as I said, in 2021, Bitcoin was at $69,000. It dropped all the way down to around $17,000. And now it just surpassed its high again. So it climbed the mountain all the way back, breaking its record all the way past $70,000 in a sort of astonishing comeback. Mm. Now, there are all sorts of theories for why this has happened. And crypto enthusiasts would love to tell you that it's because, you know, the technology is maturing, that institutional investors are finally on board with it. And part of that has to do with, in the US, an investment vehicle called an ETF was approved for Bitcoin, which means that big mainstream investors can bet on Bitcoin through NASDAQ or the stock market, basically. So that's brought in a lot of institutional investors, the support of BlackRock and Fidelity, and sort of this idea that Bitcoin is a safe asset now, you know, that your grandma can invest in it the same way she would invest in Apple stock.
Okay, so just so I've got this right, the value of Bitcoin has skyrocketed, partly because big investment companies have created these funds, which make it easier for people like me who don't know much about it and wouldn't know where to start to actually buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrency. And that's partly why the price is being driven up.
There's a slight distinction in that they're allowing you to buy the investment vehicle for Bitcoin. So you're not actually touching Bitcoin, but the investment vehicle is dependent on the price of crypto. So it is sort of this cyclical set of assets that help each other. But of course, nobody really knows Bitcoin's inner workings. It's Yes. still incredibly volatile. And there's other analysts who basically argue that the only reason for Bitcoin's success right now is macroeconomics, that because inflation is, you know, declining in many countries, because many governments are talking about, you know, this idea of a soft landing, that there's this idea that this year people are going to have more money to spend on more speculative assets that they can bet on, that they're going to put this money into this thing, hoping that will go up. And it has nothing to do with, you know, its fundamental underpinning.
But it's now reached this peak of around $73,000 per Bitcoin. That's American dollars. It's huge.
That's correct. There are a lot of people who are expecting this price to continue to increase, at least for the short term. Every 4 years, Bitcoin has gone through this pattern where it has really jumped to a new high before receding back down. So every 4 years, Bitcoin has an event called the halving, which is a mechanism that's built into it that aims to make the currency more scarce and more valuable. It's a deflationary mechanism. And every time the halving has happened, the price of Bitcoin has jumped pretty drastically, in a way that makes its believers think that the halving in and of itself is this value increasing event for Bitcoin. The next halving is scheduled to happen in April. And so a lot of people believe that the price is still going to continue to jump drastically the way that it jumped drastically 4 years ago. But there are a lot of economists who are very skeptical of sort of this economic model and basically say that it doesn't make sense that an event wouldn't have already been priced in by smart people. We can expect that the volatility, both up and down, is going to continue, and that there's no reason that it's going to just settle where it is.
And that volatility really comes down to whether or not people believe in Bitcoin, that they think it's worthy of investing in, right?
That's correct. A lot of Bitcoin's movement is sort of self-enforcing. If people see that others are buying and that it's a good investment, they in turn are more likely to get in, and then that can propel it upwards. And then the same goes for when it's coming back down. Because at the moment, as we talked about before, Bitcoin is really not being used as a currency at all. It's not a useful technology yet, replacing actual currency. So a lot of its value really just comes from future belief in Bitcoin's value, which obviously none of us can know for certain. There are plenty of people that argue it has no value, and there are plenty of people who argue that it's the most valuable asset in the world.
But now is a pretty good time to sell, by the sound of it, although you did mention it might keep going up. But pretty hard to buy, right, at the moment?
I'm not going to offer any financial advice.
Okay, good.
Obviously, a lot of people buy much less than one Bitcoin and hold, you know, 0.005 of a Bitcoin. But it's a high-risk game. Obviously, for people who bought it at $17,000 and now it's $70,000, it's a high-reward game as well. But it's just, you have to go into it really understanding the risks and rewards.
And as we mentioned, Andrew, not long ago, there were people that thought Bitcoin was dead. So does this all mean that it has staying power? What do you think its future looks like?
I think this current bump in price says very little about what Bitcoin might look like in 10 years, just because, again, there's still very little fundamental underpinning use case. I think it's shown that even after such a huge crash and a wave of pessimism just from 2 years ago, people's memories are short and the idea of Bitcoin in people's minds is very resilient. The act of writing about Bitcoin comes with talking to all sorts of prognosticators who will either tell you that it's going to be dead in 2 years or it will be the most valuable asset ever. And obviously, it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle, and it's going to keep jumping up, down, and around.
Andrew Chow is Time Magazine's technology correspondent and the author of Cryptomania. This episode was produced by Nell Whitehead and Bridget Fitzgerald. Audio production by Anna John and Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.